You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our lecture today, we are going to talk about the continuity between the prophets of the Old Testament Scriptures and the apostles of the New Testament Scriptures, that both the prophets and the apostles have been sent by God to reveal the knowledge of salvation. So when we talk today, we'll look in particular, we'll start at Hebrews chapter 1, where we learn that God spoke to our fathers of old by the prophets, but now is spoken to us by his Son. And then we'll quickly go over to Matthew 13, in which Jesus himself speaks to the apostles, and he ties together what the prophets had promised and what the prophets had desired to see, and that the apostles are now seeing fulfilled before their own eyes. We'll also look at Peter's second letter in chapter 1, where he describes that he himself heard Jesus speak. He saw Jesus with his own eyes. The Apostle John also in his epistle, we'll look at his first epistle in chapter 1, where he says the same thing, that he too saw Jesus. He heard Jesus for himself. We'll also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for even the Apostle Paul says that he heard Jesus and that Jesus himself taught and revealed to him. And then we'll conclude by looking at Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, where again he ties in the prophets and explains that it's the same Holy Spirit that worked through the prophets, works through the apostles, and continues to work in our day through these written words. And it's not about personal interpretation, but about the knowledge of salvation given by the Holy Spirit. And finally, we'll look at John's Gospel in chapter 2, where we will see an example of how John reiterates that he heard Jesus, he saw Jesus, and then after the resurrection and the ascension, all of this began to be tied together when the promise of the Comforter came that would remind the apostles of all things that Jesus had said. All right, let's begin today's lecture. Now, apart from the revealed knowledge, one cannot truly know God. Now, we have discussed this throughout multiple lectures. But in the days before Jesus, this revealed knowledge was given through the prophets. Before Christ came as the final revelation of God in the flesh, bringing salvation himself, prior to that, the prophets were sent to reveal the knowledge of salvation. These prophets foretold that the Messiah would come and he would bring salvation to all nations. And then their message was written down in order to give people the certainty of God's fulfilled promises, so that for posterity's sake, we could be certain and sure that we hear the voice of God who speaks through the mouth of the prophets. It is the Holy Spirit who continues to work through their words as we read these scriptures, as we hear the message the prophets give in our own day. Now, these prophets of old had promised that the Messiah would come, that Jesus of Nazareth, who is begotten of the Father from eternity and born of the Virgin Mary, is the fulfillment of all their promises. And that's where we pick up with the apostles, that they tie into this continuity of this same message that the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of the prophets. Now the Holy Spirit speaks through the mouth of the apostles. And so in the New Testament scripture, which is also written down for posterity's sake, we can be certain and sure that we have the testimony that God himself gives, that God gives his clear and sure word to us, that all the fulfillments of the promises given to Abraham and to David are found in Jesus. So in Hebrews chapter 1, we read this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now that's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The prophets spoke about Jesus as God directed them. But it was Jesus who spoke as only he could, as the only begotten Son of God. For he is the one who reveals God, for no one has ever seen God, but the Son of God himself is the one who makes him known. Now, as the prophets looked forward to the coming of the promised Messiah, it was the apostles who saw and were taught by the Messiah in the flesh. Now, granted, of course, the prophets of old saw the pre-incarnate Christ, for the Son of God came to them in their days to reveal the Father in a unique way, taking upon a form that was visible and tangible, which, of course, pointed to the ultimate fulfillment of God coming to reveal himself to humanity in the Holy Incarnation. When the apostles themselves saw the one who was born of the house of David, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, taking upon flesh and blood in order to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The early church father Eusebius of Caesarea wrote a church history around the early part of the 4th century. And in this church history, he was testifying to the antiquity of the true faith of the pre-incarnate Christ in the days of the prophets. Eusebius writes, and he says this, "Clearly they knew the Christ of God, since he appeared to Abraham, taught Isaac, spoke to Israel, and conversed with Moses and the latter prophets." Likewise, Eusebius says this, "Holy Scripture again refers to him as God when he appeared to Jacob in the form of a man and said, 'No longer shall your name be Jacob, but Israel, for you have prevailed with God.' Then too, Jacob called the name of that place the vision of God, saying, 'For I saw God face to face, and my life was spared.'" So here you see early church fathers like Eusebius testifying to the Christ being pre-existent before the birth in Bethlehem, that the Son of God was coming to the prophets in the days of old, just like he came to the apostles in the days of the New Testament. Now this Son of God is the one born of Mary. The name Jesus is given to him as he is God's salvation, Yahweh's salvation. And Jesus himself declares to the apostles in Matthew chapter 13, saying this, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 through 17. Again, the prophets of old saw the second person of the Holy Trinity as he came and took upon a form that was visible and tangible for them. But they did not see the Son of God incarnate in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, as the apostles saw in their days. The apostles hold a sacred place in the history of revealing the message of salvation to all people. They heard the incarnate Son speak to them themselves. They saw his very flesh and blood. They were eyewitnesses to all that he had done. They saw his miracles. They saw his rejection. They saw his suffering. And of course, John the Apostle saw his crucifixion. But the other apostles, including John, saw his resurrection. Of course, not including Judas Iscariot, who apostatized. But the apostles saw Jesus in the flesh. They saw the resurrected Jesus as he came to testify that he has overcome death and the grave, and that his sacrifice is pleasing to God, atoning for all sin. Now the apostles Peter, John, and Paul all declare that they were eyewitnesses and that they were sent by Jesus to make known this wonderful news. In fact, the Apostle Peter, in his second letter, chapter 1, writes this: "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Here Peter is making it clear that he's not speculating about what could possibly, potentially be true. Instead, he is revealing to us which had been revealed to him. He is validating his testimony based upon what he himself heard and saw from God. He himself saw the second person of the Holy Trinity in the flesh. Likewise, the Apostle John writes in his first letter, saying this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." Now that's 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So here John is saying that he saw the Word that was in the beginning, as he talks about in his gospel, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He saw it. And this Word that was in the beginning that had life and light is the same Word that was incarnate, made manifest, who walked among the apostles in the lands of Galilee. And they saw him, they heard him, he revealed himself to them and sent them out so that he would be revealed to the nations and to us in our day through their written word. Now likewise, John is making manifest that which was made manifest to him, just like Peter was. Again, the message of life is not to be hidden from the world, but it is to be proclaim to the world. This light that was in the beginning and was in the days of the apostles continues to shine in the darkness in our days through this written word of the apostles. Likewise, the apostle Paul, he writes in his first letter to the church that was in Corinth, saying this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, although Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles, he did see firsthand the resurrected Lord Jesus. For the resurrected Christ came to Paul and revealed himself to Paul, and then sent him out to proclaim the message of salvation to the Gentiles in particular. He was given this message revealed, so that he could reveal this message to others. Now, the apostles were taught by Jesus himself, and they were sent out by Jesus himself. They were sent out to teach others that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecies of all the prophets. They did not make up stories themselves, nor did they take stories from other people. They didn't play games of mythology. No, they knew firsthand what the Lord had said, and it was the Holy Spirit who was with them, as Christ had promised. The Holy Spirit taught them, reminding them all that the Lord Jesus had said. The same Spirit that gave the prophets the message to proclaim in the days of the Old Testament is the same Spirit of God that gave the apostles their message to proclaim. As the prophets of old revealed the message of the coming Christ, the apostles revealed that Jesus is the one that the people of God were waiting for. And the same Holy Spirit that was efficaciously working through the words of the prophets in their day to the hearers who took this message to heart It's the same Holy Spirit that worked in the words of the apostles in their day, in the ears of the hearers who took this message into their hearts. And it's the same Holy Spirit that works in our day, opening our eyes to see wonderful things written in the scriptures of the prophets and the apostles. The same Holy Spirit who efficaciously works to open our ears to hear the voice of God and our hearts to believe the promises that are fulfilled in Christ. Now, the Apostle Peter, in his first letter, he writes this, saying, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. You see, the Holy Spirit who had inspired the prophets of old to write and to speak also inspired the apostles to write and to speak. And as you recall, it was Jesus who promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come, and he would bring to their memories all that he had said. In addition, it was the Holy Spirit who gave them the divine insight into the writings of the prophets that were fulfilled in Jesus. We see this in their writings when they refer to the writings of the prophets with such phrases as, "It is written," or "It is written by the prophets," or "It has been fulfilled as the prophets had spoken. What was spoken of the prophets is now fulfilled." And you see this whole language of the apostles tying this line of continuity, that it's the same Holy Spirit speaking the same message about Christ. For the Holy Spirit testifies about the crucified Christ. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Christ who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Spirit of Christ who spoke in the prophets, and the Spirit of Christ who speaks now in their words to us in our day. For example, in the second chapter of John's Gospel, John makes this insightful comment based upon what he had seen firsthand when Jesus cleansed the temple, and after the fact, after the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the sending out of the apostles to proclaim the message of salvation in Jesus from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. So in John's Gospel, chapter 2, we read this: "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overthrew their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, 'Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade.'" In the very next verse, you get the insight. "His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews then said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?'" Again, this insight in verse 21. "But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." So that's John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. You see, after the resurrection of Jesus from the grave and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, then John was able to clearly see what took place before his eyes in the past. The knowledge of salvation was revealed to him. He then recalled what Jesus had done, and he's made the connection as it was the fulfillment of the prophetic writings. There is a continuity between the message of the prophets of old and the apostles of Jesus. God was at work in both groups of people, bringing the revelation of salvation to the world. Thus, the Apostle Paul writes in the second chapter of his letter to the church in Ephesus, saying this, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." Now that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Now originally, the Jewish people, who were the people of the Old Testament, they were the ones who had the writings of the prophets, who instructed them about the salvation that was to be found in the Christ, the Son of David. Now, the Gentiles who hear the message and believe are the people of the New Testament and the writings of the apostles. So that you have this one body of people, those who are Jews and those who are Greeks, who hear the message of salvation that is revealed and fulfilled in Christ, in his crucifixion on the cross for our transgressions, and his resurrection from the grave for our justification. So that this message of the prophets and the apostles is this foundation upon which God builds his church, his holy temple. And the people of God are being built into this holy dwelling place for the Lord. So that in the name of Jesus, all nations are being gathered. The apostles were sent out to make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus had commanded. We conclude our lecture with these words from the early church father Eusebius of Caesarea. He states this in his church history: "No language could adequately describe the origin, essence, and nature of Christ, as indeed the Holy Spirit says in prophecy, 'Who shall declare his generation?' For no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one has fully known the Son except the Father who begot him. And who but the Father could conceive of the light that existed before the world, the wisdom that preceded time, the living Word that was in the beginning with the Father and was God?" And Eusebius also then says later on, "Then at last, when all humanity throughout the world was now ready to receive knowledge of the Father, that same divine Word of God appeared at the beginning of the Roman Empire in the form of a man, of a nature like ours, whose deeds and sufferings accorded with the prophecies that a man who was also God would do extraordinary deeds and teach all nations the worship of the Father. They also predicted the miracle of his birth, his new teaching, the wonder of his deeds, the manner of his death, his resurrection from the dead, and finally, his restoration to heaven by the power of God." Again, that is the early church father Eusebius of Caesarea, who was confessing the Christ nearly 300 years after the ascension of Jesus into heaven.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.